And welcome back to the Learn to Code podcast. Today's episode, what can you do with just HTML and CSS? This is the first episode going live in the public, open to the public on the Spotify Green Room app. I'm going to be hosting all of my new episodes here. I'm going to be recording them for Anchor, you know, for the podcast itself. I'm going to be recording video of the app, and I'm going to be uploading that into YouTube, and I'm going to be sharing on Twitter, you know, whenever I'm going to host these sessions. These are open rooms, open forums, you know, and anybody can come in, and obviously very respectful of one another, unless there is a troll, obviously. So I'm going to be hosting here in Spotify Green Room, and C is the platform, is a place where I see myself creating content from now onward. Okay, so that's a little update. The subject of the day, well, what can you do with just HTML and CSS? A lot of people that gets a hold and follows the advice of learning to code, most of the time, the first recommendation, because it's the safest one, the first recommendation they are going to get is, you know what, just learn HTML and CSS, and maybe JavaScript, depending on how smart the people are, actually, or how experienced are the people, actually, with the computer, anyway. Because HTML and CSS are not really programming. That's coding, but they are not programming languages. They are scripting languages, you know. And HTML itself is a document language, basically. What that means is that although you are going to see a lot of people writing HTML code, and you may think to yourself, well, that's code and runs on a computer, and I can see a website, how is that that is not a program? Well, basically, web pages are documents. And if you see an HTML page or a website, may I say an HTML page or a website, let's say, when you open, let's say, YouTube, you render the contents of an HTML website or page. You render, you get the code for the page, and the code is going to contain links or references to pictures, to videos, to and other data, you know, text data, and all this, all of this is going to be compiled inside a file with the extension HTML most of the time, you know? An HTML document. Therefore, it's pretty much like a Word document in the similar fashion that although it's code, it's not necessarily a set of instructions that is going to tell the computer to make a process. So basically, you're just defining a document in this case, you know. What would be a programming language? Well, the most popular one right now would be JavaScript. But the thing is, getting back, I'm digressing, I guess. So getting back to the subject. So what is the subject? What can you do with just HTML and CSS? HTML and CSS are a great starting point for many new people that wants to just learn to code. And when you don't really know where to start, learning HTML and CSS is the safest choice, you know? The unsafest choice, the one that requires risk, because you may not get any benefit from doing so, is learning Python or JavaScript directly, you know? It's risky because if you don't really complete your learning process with any of those, you are not going to get meaningful results. Let's say it's more probable for you to get a job as a marketeer creating designs for websites using just HTML and CSS, you know, with HTML and CSS, you may actually get a job by just doing HTML and CSS. At least a junior development job, you know. Most of the time, making designs or prototypes can be done with HTML and CSS. There are a lot of tools that allows designers to create pictures with the designs, you know. But most of the time, if you are an actual software developer, and especially a web developer, if you know your way around HTML, CSS, and some front-end library, like Bootstrap, for example, you can do very beautiful things with that, you know? And if you are creating a website that doesn't require a backend, let's say a company website that is just going to just get out there, you know, the company message, or even your resume, your personal resume, you don't really need JavaScript for that one. You may just create an HTML web page. You may create a CSS style sheet and just host it on GitHub and create a website there. I know that I just skip a lot of steps in that phrase alone, you know? But that's not the point. So what can you do with HTML and CSS? The first thing would be your own personal resume, you know? Let's say that if you are just graduating, or you are close to graduate from college, and you don't really have any experience developing websites or any other code or any other thing, you know, you don't have actual experience. You only have your score from the school, and that's it, you know, and maybe some academic examples or projects, but most of the time, school projects are just that, school projects. Those are very simple in nature, and those software projects are not meant to be a finished product or even a functional product. Forget about finish. They are not supposed to be working products, you know? The purpose of academic projects is for the student to learn how to a technique, basically, you know, not even a philosophy or design pattern. No, forget about that. They just want you to know how to show a different font on Google Chrome, let's say, in a website. They just want you to learn how to center a div in a web page. If you are in the database business, they just want you to know how to create a blank database, create your first table, define your columns, and insert data. Very basic stuff. You know, you are going to need a lot more to get a job, but academic exercises are focused on large groups, you know, that comes from 30 to 100 people in a classroom, you know, and the teacher is not going to stop to see where your learning is lacking, you know. So that's basically how I see people graduating from college, you know, with a CS degree, with a computer science degree, and they don't really have any experience. So what can you do? You can learn HTML and create your personal resume. If you don't have a job and you are looking for your first job, what you can do is, you know, maybe I don't have actual experience, but I can create my resume with pictures of projects that I did while I was a student in college, you know, because most of the time those projects, some of them are going to be interesting. Not most, you know, because I don't recommend people posting those little game examples from college, you know, the tic-tac-toe with JavaScript, don't put that one. What do I suggest you to put there in your resume? If you are just coming out from college, you can post a link to a project that is that has something to do with databases. Anything that has to do with reading and writing data inside a database, put that one out. You know, even if it's a game, I don't think that games are very database oriented or data oriented anyway. Unless you are making an AI or an augmented reality project, maybe, or artificial intelligence, pretty unlikely. But anyway, it may happen. Who knows? I would suggest you to find out what projects do you have from your college experience that are focused on business needs. For example, some examples of really good projects that you may actually do in your free time are a ticket system. Let's say customer service tickets, basically. You know, somebody makes a call to customer service, and the customer service representative is going to capture the details of the incident from the customer via phone, and it's going to type it down inside a form, maybe on his or her screen, and all that data is going to be stored again in a database. You know, an ID number for the ticket is going to be generated. Databases can help you with that one, and basically that will be a great example. But then again, I'm digressing a lot. So you only need HTML and CSS to create what we call static web pages, which are basically websites that don't require a backend. And what that means is you don't really need to learn deeply about deploying websites or what Node.js is or the cloud is. You don't need any of that. What you really need is just a free web hosting service. I would recommend GitHub Pages. You can Google about that. You can basically create a GitHub repository and convert that into a website for free. You know, if you invest a little bit of money, you may actually buy a domain name and link that domain name into the GitHub Pages, and now you have a website running on the internet next to free. You know, the only expense that you have to do is paying for the domain name. You know, most likely than not, that's very cheap anyway, and the benefits are really great. If you don't know where to begin to the domain name stuff, I do have a couple of recommendations. The first one will be Namecheap, and the second one will be Amazon Web Services. Be careful though, Amazon Web Services is not user friendly or non-developer friendly, so be careful there. I would recommend, having said that, I would recommend Namecheap. Google about it. So, as I mentioned before, HTML allows you to create a document that can be opened on any web browser. Okay, the first examples that you are going to see on the internet about creating HTML code are going to be basic documents that only have a white background, you know, some unformatted text with a very ugly font, you know, and pictures. And most of these exercises are meant to be done like that. Some people, when they are learning HTML and haven't seen what you can do with CSS, they try to apply formatting with just HTML. Because you are learning something, you already want to create your own fantastical web page. But the thing is that CSS, or which stands for Cascade Style Sheets, And HTML stands for Hypertext Markup Language. CSS allows you to apply a styling to your HTML document. So all the beautiful things that you want to implement are going to be done on CSS. They can be done on HTML, and for the duration of the 90s and the 2000s, that was the case. A lot of people, because I am 40 years old already, so, and this is 2021, so you make the do your math, you know. I lived through the 2000s, seeing how webmasters were called back in the day. Today we just have subdivisions, you know. Web devs back in the day were called webmasters, and webmasters were basically the gods of the website. You know, they did everything. They did databases. They did the deployment, the hosting. They managed the domain name. They created the source code for the website. They took the pictures. They uploaded the pictures. They did everything, the design, everything. So a lot of the designs from websites on the early 2000s and mid 2000s were basically just a styling using table tags on HTML. What that means is that there was no responsive websites back in the day. Most of websites were designed thinking about screens and square screens for that matter, you know, and they were not designed for the mobile market because there was not a mobile market up until 2007, I believe, when the iPhone came out. And even then, most people didn't move into the mobile first philosophy right away, you know, because it was so new. Eventually, mobile market devour PC and laptop market on the website side. So basically, if you are not developing your mobile website first, you're doing something wrong now. No? It doesn't matter for me because I am allowed using CSS and HTML. I am allowing myself to create something that we call in the world how do you call it? A responsive web design, which basically means that you can just create one source code and that website should adapt dynamically no matter the size of the screen. It is hard work. It's not easy. That's why some web pages and some apps, for some web apps, don't actually allow you to do that very well. But it can be done, and I have done it in the past. It's hard work. It's really worth it because you are reaching more people that way, you know. Maybe Android developers could pick up a couple of pointers from there, you know, responsive design. Anyway, you can create your own. I'm digressing a lot on this episode. You can create your own resume with HTML and CSS, okay? Another thing that you can do with just HTML and CSS besides your own resume are, let's say, product pages. What is a product page? Well, let's say that you want to sell something, you know, something, an aluminum ladder, you know, maybe you know the company name and you create a web page just for one product, and you can produce your YouTube videos with your phone, upload that to YouTube, get the link from YouTube, and embed the video into your HTML code, and use the video as the main focus of the web page. You know, these kind of web page are known as landing pages because they basically are websites that conform that are composed of a single web page or maybe two. And the information about the product, the service, or the company is just right there. And it's very brief because people don't really have that much time to navigate through a 100-page website anymore, you know. And that's basically it. You can do that, a landing page. Something else that you can do Another thing that you can do with just HTML and CSS is ebooks. Ebooks are a more complex subject. However, if you learn HTML and CSS pretty well, you can recycle that knowledge and write ebooks and format ebooks very easily just using HTML and CSS. That allows you to focus on the writing more than in the design, because the design is basically you need to follow guidelines and that's it. You don't really have the freedom to do whatever you want. You had some freedoms with CSS, but not really. You are basically writing for an audience that is focused on reading. You can include pictures, especially in textbooks. That's another subject. But the main thing will be the text. That's for e-readers. You don't need to focus on changing the font, because the main user is going to change that. So it's preferably that you just leave it alone with the default font and that's it, and focus on the content of the book, you know? Probably I'm going to be talking about ebooks in the future, because I really love reading on my Kindle. And it's my ambition to write my first book by the end of this year, I guess. But anyway, writing ebooks is a really good proposal. And especially now is the best time to start writing your ebook. Why? Because Amazon recently this year, they allow to upload ebook files. Previously, they only accept their Mobi proprietary format file for the ebooks. You know, if you want to sell or publish your own book, now you can actually upload an EPUB ebook. You know, the EPUB format is an open standard. You can Google about it. It's not really different from the previous one from the Mobi. But allows you more control over the content, and it's not just for ebooks. I really recommend you to learn HTML and CSS good enough, and start writing your own ebooks. You know, you don't really need a lot of knowledge about HTML and CSS if you are going to write an ebook or formatting ebooks, because most of the formatting time is going to be taken by the text, the actual content of the book. Those are some of the things that you can do with just HTML and CSS. Recapping, you know, you can create your own resume in HTML and CSS, host it on GitHub, and you can create a landing page for a product, a service, or a company, and promote your service, company, or products that way, you know, posting videos on YouTube and embedding those videos in the landing page. That would be great. And the last thing would be writing your own ebooks. Writing your own ebooks, learning HTML and CSS will be the first step. However, you need to learn the formatting for the actual ebooks. And that may be another course that you may like to take, or a book that you may need to read in order to know, or just Google around, you know, what you need to do in order to create and compile your own ebook, basically. No? I'm going to be talking deeply about writing ebooks in the future, in the next episode maybe. And I thank you for listening, I guess. And see in the description of the podcast, in the description of the YouTube video, or my where can you find me? I am at Twitter at Jorge Escobar. I am called Jorge Escobar in YouTube. All the links are in the description of the podcast. Thank you for coming in, and goodbye.